So, Father God, we thank you for your presence with us today, and I pray, Lord, that as we come to your word, you would open our ears to hear what you have to say to us. You would open our hearts to receive your Spirit afresh today. And just help us, Lord. Help us and be with us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Do have a seat. So when I read the readings for today, one little verse, the verse at the start of the Luke reading, which is Luke 12, jumped out at me. So, and I felt that was a little verse that was for us here. You can weigh that up and decide. It's Luke 12:32, which says, "Do not be afraid, little flock. Your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." That's it. I'll know it by the end. And you might as well, I hope. It's kind of memory verse for the day, I think, today, that. Anyway. So because I'm focusing on that, I'm not going to sort of set a whole load of context and talk about everything around it today. So you'll have to go and read that or listen to somebody else another day. But just want to say that we've had the Hebrews reading, so I just want to set it briefly in the setting of faith, as we heard from Hebrews 11, Stephen read for us. And we had a part in that reading, we had part of the list of the faith-filled from the Old Testament, basically. We had, you know, the faith-filled people, Abel, Enoch, and Noah, and Abraham, Isaac, Joseph, Moses, and then the people, actually, it says, the people at one point, and Rahab, and the rest. And because faith, though grounded in the faith of God's people, always looks forward to what the writer, the better, which we had. And even though the people have died, they still died with faith. And it doesn't give any that they died and their deaths were some sort of failure of faith or anything like that. They died believing in a better country to come. So that is the context of faith in which we live and we have our being now. So we're back at Luke 12. Very briefly, thousands have come to hear Jesus, and it's such a crush that they're all trampling on each other. It sounds a bit like a sort of football crowd. But anyway, he speaks to the crowd in this passage and the surrounding, but he also speaks to his disciples. So it sort of goes between the whole crowd and the group of disciples. Sometimes a bit difficult to know who he is talking to because they keep listening to each other and butting in and all the rest of it. So anyway, what we get here is some new material, but we also get kind of edited highlights of the Sermon on the Mount, really. Some of Jesus' best bits, as it were, come here as well, and some other bits. But the verse at the beginning there, at 12:32, is not, as far as I'm aware, anywhere else. It's not in Matthew. So it's just a little gem that we have for us there today. And it says, "Do not be afraid, little flock. Your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." So because I think this is a word for us as a church, I just wanted to go through it very briefly, and phrase by phrase, just to sort of tease a few things out, and then kind of leave it for us to kind of ponder and wait for the Lord, really, on where to go with this. Anyway, don't be afraid. Do not be afraid is the first phrase. For God provides, Jesus provides reassurance to his followers. You've probably heard this a lot, but the Bible has a "do not be afraid" for every day of the year, and I think it has a spare one for leap years, doesn't it, as well? That's right, isn't it? Oh, Simon's nodding, so that must be right. It's like Radio 4 over there. Must be right. Okay, so, and Luke 12, up just the first 34 verses, I had a quick count, and it has three "don't be afraid" in it, and it also has three "don't worries." be afraid and don't worry in what Jesus says to his followers here. So there's a lot of that around. And I thought, well, actually, he did need to say that to his followers then, because the first century followers had plenty they could be afraid, anxious or worried about, didn't they? I mean, I just made a few suggestions of the things they needed, they could be worried about. They could be worried about poverty, disease, famine, early death, unpredictable rulers, legalistic religious leaders, etc., etc., etc. The list goes on a bit, doesn't it? So that's what they had to, they could have been worried about. But Jesus says, don't be afraid, particularly of what people can do to you. He says that, he highlights that earlier in Luke 12. We won't go there right now, but he's saying, don't be afraid of what people can do to you. And I think we need to hear that, don't we? We need to hear that today. We need to hear that every day, really, I think. Because when we feel weak, which we do, when we feel despondent, which we do, and we feel like giving up, like we do sometimes, we need to hear, do not be afraid. And it comes at significant moments when it's understandable in the Bible that people are afraid. When angels turn up, they usually first words are, don't be afraid, which is helpful, isn't it, really? Because obviously the people who they turn up to are afraid. So it's a command, really, in circumstances where it's perfectly rational to be afraid, actually to don't be afraid. And Jesus says to them, don't be afraid. I know what it's like. Don't be afraid. He says, kind of, take courage, cheer up, and keep following me. Not keep calm and carry on. Keep following me. That's what he says. Do not be afraid. And that's what he's saying to us, I think, today. Then he says, little flock. So he gives the reassurance, and then the reality. And isn't it lovely, this? I think I don't remember this appearing anywhere else, really. But Jesus speaks tenderly and lovingly, and you can just tell he's speaking as the good shepherd, isn't he, with his flock there, and he shows his pastoral care just in that little phrase. But in speaking of a little flock, Jesus recognises the reality that his followers are relatively small in numbers, certainly at that point. They are vulnerable. They're in a big, hostile, powerful world. And I think sometimes when we talk, or when we hear people talk about the church, especially in sermons, we can kind of big the church up. I'm not saying that there's not an element of truth in that, because, you know, God dwells in his church and has great plans for us. I know all that. But actually, sometimes we can big it up and think about verses like when Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Yeah, all good stuff. But actually, we can also sometimes make it sound like the church is on the side of the rich and powerful. But here Jesus is very down to earth. He's realistic and he's pastoral. And at the risk of stating the blindingly obvious, we are a little flock here. That's the reality, and that maybe feels painful to all of us, or some of us, in different ways. Maybe as we recall former days when it perhaps didn't feel like that. But nonetheless, Jesus speaks to his little flock. Little flock accepts the reality, but it doesn't mean that we have failed. It doesn't mean that God does not continue to love and to care for us, or that we, as his little flock, can't hear his voice and rest in his tender care. I think this phrase is saying to us that we need to be even more attentive to his voice as a little flock. We need to know the shepherd's voice. Need to become familiar with the shepherd's voice individually and together. And that's so that we discern his leading for us. Now, the question about how we do that in ways that we don't perhaps already do, I'm going to leave open now. But I think that's what God is saying to us, that we need to listen for his voice and be attentive to it. Okay. Moving on, he says, your father your father, not my father on this occasion, but your father. Not Abraham, who some of them thought was their father, but actually Abraham's father, Father God. So he's saying this is about a relationship. Our walk and worship need to be on relationship with the Father through the Son. There is no substitute for that. And that was a reminder to me, because as I said last week when Liz, Laura and I and Sarah gave a bit of testimony about what God had done and said through our time at New Wine, I said that when we were asked to say what God had said to us in a moment, we had to just ask him that question. What he said to me was, seek him. Seek him. It's quite simple. So we need to seek him, develop that relationship with God as our Father. Next bit. Has been pleased or delighted even to give. So God rejoices and he releases. God our Father is motivated by love. He doesn't grudgingly give us anything, but he delights to do so. And that's another message we need to hear again and again, so that we actually get it and keep it. And that's especially true, as we know, if our experience of our earthly father or fathers is different. And for many people, that is, well, none of our fathers is kind of in the same league as God, our heavenly daddy, is he? Are they? Just not. Even if they were good fathers. Our heavenly father is an open-handed, generous dad who so loved the world that he gave his only son that we might not perish but have eternal life. That's how much God loves us and delights to give to us. And the last little phrase, the kingdom. After all this, what is it he's giving? Come on in, have a seat. Jesus is saying, well, Jesus came to announce the kingdom, as we know, his rule as king. He's saying here, I am the king. And then, as we know, he obviously later he goes on to demonstrate that he is the king, but not in the way that the vast majority of people were expecting. In fact, I'm not sure anybody was really expecting him to do it the way he did. But he's saying here that the Father wants to give what Jesus has to his followers. I mean, if you just think about that, that is staggering, isn't it? And it's so unlike earthly rulers. Giving it away, not hanging on to it, grabbing more, giving it away. So when Jesus tells his disciples to pray, and we still pray in this way, when he says, pray your kingdom come, your will be done, it's not just a prayer that says, we're miserable worms, you know, just do it, God, and forget about us. No, it's acknowledging that it's his pleasure to get to do it, but through us, through people like us, and with us, in partnership. That's just amazing, isn't it? He doesn't bypass us, he does it with us and through us, as we trust him. What trust does that show on his part? Jesus trusted his disciples, which is a bit weird, isn't it, when you look at them? Really? What responsibility? What a risk for God to hand over his kingdom to Jesus' disciples. What amazing grace. So there we have it, a whistle-stop tour. Very brief. Through the words of one verse of scripture. Do not be afraid, little flock. Your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. So I've said a little bit along the way about what I think God might be saying to us today. But I thought it would be good at the end just to have a few moments quiet. We'll have a chance to respond if we want to. And as Sarah said, Liz and I, and maybe others, will be available to pray with anybody who wants to pray about anything. If God's spoken to you through this, then share it or come and get some prayer, whatever. But it's something to take away. Read it in context. Do what you need to do. But I think God is speaking to us today. Words of comfort and words of challenge to us today. So let's just, I'll pray, and then we'll have a moment's quiet just to wait and listen to speak, because he's still speaking. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the words of Jesus. Thank you that we have the words of Jesus that he spoke in these moments to his disciples and to the crowd. Thank you that his words are so deep, so personal, so caring, and so amazing. Help us now as we reflect on Jesus' words to hear your voice, to hear the prompt of your spirit in our lives as individuals and as a church. Amen.